Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host, Valerie Kirkgaard. I am here in Washington, D.C. I've been participating in the inauguration of Barack Obama and the completion of that. As you know, if you were listening to our program last year, that we were working towards this moment. Well, it's happened. Washington is still celebrating. People have been dancing in the streets, and more of that will come out as we go through the program. In the remarkable good timing of how things happen, I had talked to Stephanie Edwards, who has recently returned as host to the Pasadena Rose Parade, and I love what Stephanie Edwards has been doing. We figured it out. She was actually in the rain 1 year and co-host for 29 years. Okay, so 30 years people have been looking at, working with, and hearing Stephanie's remarkable descriptions of the Rose Parade. I was telling Stephanie before the show that one of the things that I like about her is not just her flaming red hair and the color and great humor that she has, but it's that the Rose Parade stands for roses, which are the highest frequency, which is love, and it also stands for hope, the beginning of a fresh new year. Well, it's way more than a fresh new year, folks. If you've had the privilege of watching what's going on in Washington, it's like it's a fresh new world. It's a new life. Along with this, catch the wonder of all of this, Gail Ellen, our art and beauty editor, and she does international protocol for the radio program, actually was original listener in 1987, so we're starting our 22nd year here with hope and possibility, and probably the largest party I've ever seen and probably on the planet so far. I'm actually here at the good graces of Tammy Hagen and Susan Voss, who work with the executive offices of the Hyatt Regency Washington. It's as close as you can get to Capitol Hill. And this entire celebration, most of the key players have been connecting like mad in the lobby. So if you sat in the lobby of the Washington Hyatt, you met almost everybody. So I just can't tell you what it's been like to be able to stay at this hotel. I've got a stack of food from their bar in front of me, their little food buffet that they put together. You could actually come here, relax, and you could also get kind of a little overweight with that dessert I was snacking on a while ago. So, Gail, I know you've been home. You've been watching the inauguration there while I've been actually showing. I went to two of the balls, by the way, Gail. I went to the Midwestern Ball and the Western Ball, where at the Western Ball, actually, Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony were performing, and the intensity of energy is phenomenal because people feel like something very special is happening. The Midwestern Ball, Sheryl Crow was there. The Midwesterners came together. They were having many balls in Washington. There's there was at least 10 or 15 balls going on last night. So after the inauguration, when the helicopter from the last administration flew off, it was like that was a clicking point where everybody stepped in to actually be part of the change of the future. And Gail, I wondered if you wanted to comment on that before we hop in with Stephanie here.
Well, this is definitely a great time in history, and imagine that we're all here to witness it. And the most profound thing from his speech yesterday is that he can't do it himself. So he's counting on us to help inspire and reinvent and put America back as number one. And for me, that's what Stephanie Edwards does, Val. She inspires and she reinvents. And for me, she has been a true interpretation of what the rose is. And each color rose actually has a different interpretation. But when I hear the name Stephanie Edwards and when I hear her voice, I'm enchanted.
Absolutely. And I was talking to my friend Chris that Stephanie was going to be gone. She goes, "Oh, I'm so glad I started watching the Rose Parade again." So Stephanie, just thank you for coming to Waking Up in America. And before we feed in more about you, I'm just curious, what kind of went on for you as you watched the inauguration ceremonies in this wild week that's been going on in Washington?
Good midday to you, Valerie. You're in the afternoon now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm actually, it's just after 3 here.
And Gal and I are stuck out here in 75-degree weather, but it's going to rain, so that might give you a little comfort.
I'm happy to hear that.
My husband and I were transfixed, as was so much of the world yesterday, and even this morning. I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it, but the installation of the senior staff.
Oh, no, I haven't heard this. Tell us.
It was done this morning and televised, and I happened to catch it in the car and then ran into the house to catch it on camera. It's funny, when there's something that feels so good, you want to look at it over and over and over again, and I am certainly not yet tired of looking at Obama's face and the way he forms words and sentences and the joy on the faces of the people who are serving him. He announced, among other things, that he is freezing his senior staff's salary. Of course, to those who make less than 3 figures a year, that's no big deal, but it was a gesture, among many others he mentioned this morning, of how we're going to lead by example rather than expecting the public to do what we don't do ourselves. He also spoke about the fact that it's going to be an accessible administration, so that he will be on the side of giving out information and will have to be convinced about why he shouldn't give out information.
Well, you know, Stephanie, I mean, walking in the streets yesterday, don't you consider that like a major demonstration of his accessibility?
Well, I think most of the presidents have walked in the street, but he has been accessible just in so many ways. And, of course, there are people grieving. I realize that. I'm related to some of them who are just appalled at what they think is the complete breakdown of all that is American security and power. So we just have to keep humble, and that is also what he said this morning, that serving the public is a true honor, that he's going to insist upon that being a hallmark of the way his people behave, and that humility is going to have to be their guide or they'll fail. It's so wonderful to hear someone extol the virtue of humility that Murray and I, well, I woke up with swollen eyes this morning. Murray wept several times. My husband wept several times yesterday, too. And we just kept saying, did we just hear? What did we just hear? Did he say what I thought he just said?
He did.
So it is it's an interesting, fascinating, and very, very challenging time, because it's he's been put on such a pedestal at this point that I just feel for him.
Well, I have to tell you something. The pedestal has a very strong base.
Mm.
And as we were actually in the C-section quite close, but, you know, he was like taller than a speck from that particular section. But I want to say that the Capitol was brilliant. The air with a chill factor was at 19 degrees, but you couldn't feel it because the humanity was there and
indeed
so present.
The sea of warmth.
Yeah, what happened, what was so interesting to watch the whole thing, and it even happened on the plane coming here, the barriers. The natural barriers that people put up between themselves and others were totally gone.
Mm.
I believe I hold the kissing record.
Mm, do you?
For people that I know at this thing. Mm. And we were talking, different ones of us, and it's like, true, we wanted to kiss everybody. So we were going up and down the rows. We were kissing each other.
Well, I've recently been on planes back and forth to the Midwest, and I think on my planes everyone had terminal bronchial pneumonia, so I'll hold a good thought for you. I've had one
I don't
right
care
on top of the other.
This was a kiss that was worth it. These kisses were totally worth it.
Good.
I have kissed myself into some of the most fabulous relationships. Gail, you'll be happy to know I picked up a lot of cards. One of the things that I was doing here, you guys, is with my 501c3, the Golden Heart Foundation, I actually want very much to create funding for youth, okay? And I was here working for Theron Thompson, who's actually a Yurok. No, he's not Yurok. He's Mohawk. And we're actually raising money for him to go to George Washington University. So one of the things I've also done here is I've met extraordinary youth with amazing projects.
That's
when you know, when we were younger, like when we were 18 or 19, we didn't usually have our own philanthropic foundation.
No.
You know, these kids do. I don't know if you know this because we haven't really talked that much, but I have a lot of handicapped issues physically because I just have trouble getting around. And I found a young man named William who actually took me through every place that I needed to go and then cried when we got here because he had no idea that he could become that close to the president. Also, Barack Obama made a point of showing up at the balls last night. And when he came with Michelle and he talked to us and then he danced with her, it makes you cry.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of future that we have.
Yeah.
So a new day has dawned, and I wondered if you wanted to throw in anything there, Gail.
Well, it is a new day, and I think it's going to be one of power versus force. You know, he seems to be a true listener. And his inner and outer calm so represents this new possibility of everything.
Yeah, it so does. They're running things. He's just been to church this morning, and he's gone to one with many different nationalities being represented. I don't think that this man, I think the way he's structured the presidency and what he's about, this is not about wait after 100 days and see that he's fallen from grace or something of that nature. This is up to us. He has given us the clearing.
And he's really asked for our help. So we can't.
So it's about us. It's about how can we step in? Mm-hmm. How can we be of service? Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that because I played a little game, you guys, and I don't, Gail, you might not know about it, or you might, but I was in the Landmark Forum last weekend.
Right.
Did you know that? Yeah, you knew that. Of course you did. And Stephanie, you didn't. And I had Ron Zeller as a coach. And I created a game last weekend, which was to – I'm used to paying my own way. That's what I do. So I've had a 501c3 for like 5 years now, and I've never funded it. So the challenge to me was to get to Washington, D.C., to make connections, to get to the balls, to do everything without using my own money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what else to do, so I needed plane fare. That was the first thing I needed, and I needed a ticket to the inauguration. So I called up about 20 friends, and I ran around with my little car and picked up close to $2,000 in a couple of days. But part of it was like a master charge, which wasn't going to clear my account for a while. So I got my ex-husband, Lon Kirkgaard, thank you very much, sweetheart, to offer the bridge funding until the charge comes in. I got other people gave me the money. I actually got a ticket through the negotiations on the internet and asking people to the purple section. I did all of these different things. I got a round-trip ticket on Virgin Airways. Everything happened very magically. I didn't spend my own money. I would ask people if I could share a cab with them. So I got driven around by all these people. But here's the most fun. I never knew what I was going to be doing the next day, you guys, and I didn't know where I was going to be staying. I just had my clothes polished and hanging up nice in my little suitcases, and I ended up staying at the Hyatt Regency.
For the whole time?
The whole time.
Good for you, girl.
And let me tell you how that happened, Candace Nicole. Thank you. She referred me to a friend of hers, Paul, and Paul was I'm going to say Paul Walton actually is a very interesting man. He and his friend Henry Weinecker actually created Millionaires for Obama. Mm-hmm. How about that? Mm-hmm. And it turns out, I just found out this morning, that Paul Walton was actually one of the bachelors on television on The Bachelor Show, and that's how his claim to fame. Mm-hmm. So besides this Millionaires for Obama, and these men put me into a situation where I was staying at the Hyatt Regency and were because they're such amazingly generous people, I was actually being introduced to people. I was introduced to the manager of the Hyatt. They were talking to Mr. Branson of Virgin Airways last night at the Google parties. These guys are just totally loving hearts and totally well-connected. So you were making the reference earlier, Gail, and so were you, Stephanie. This whole thing is a request to be with each other, and I hope our listening audience is going to take the time to turn around and see who you're sitting next to and who's in your life and imagine that there are no barriers between you and you can just honestly interact through the heart what's going to be happening and what's going to be your role here in our recreation of American history, of American possibility, of American future. And Gail, do you want to comment on that?
Well, it sounds to me, Mel, like you were certainly in action this whole last week. And I think that's what one of the things he's going to be inspiring us to do is to be in action. But also, I have noticed a shift in people's feeling relatedness, I think, like never before. I think that there's been a lot that's dropped away that he's managed to make us aware of. And very silently, there has been some relatedness that people are feeling now.
Totally. Now, gosh, Stephanie, you're a professional parade watcher and participator.
One day a year, yes.
Yeah, well, hey, I never heard of anybody that knew so many things about flowers as you and Bob Eubanks do, for God's sakes. Mm. What else are you observing?
There are those who do the labor, and then we catch the baby. There's a great deal of work done by others that feeds into our parade book. And we have much more information than we can share. That's our greatest frustration. We have a lot more to talk about.
Well, you know what?
You
put your finger on something really important here. First of all, I'm here through a ticket that I got through the good graces of a man that worked with Obama and couldn't come to the inauguration.
Mm.
So if I hadn't started investigating, I never would have received that ticket from Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, when somebody gives you the assignment of creating something without putting your own money in it, we're so used to throwing our money down on the table or saying we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And we live our life out of, here's the money or I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I had
you have
to
a remarkable capacity, Valerie. I don't possess it at all, really, for asking for things and asking people for their attention and their involvement. Not everybody can do that. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure you might get slapped in the face figuratively for that, but you're a very aggressive asker, and people who have that capacity have a very adventuresome life, I think.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, I was thinking about the fact, I couldn't get into the balls last night, Stephanie, because I had neglected to pick up the right press credentials.
Mm.
I had my press credentials, but I didn't have this like little card I was supposed to have.
How did you barge your way in?
I didn't.
Uh-huh.
It was really interesting. What I did was, well, I'll tell you what I did, because actually my style was more demanding in the past because I didn't have the security that I have now of my own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So what I did was, and I, by the way, I wasn't like speechless or anything of that nature. What I told them was when I was there, I said, look, this is my place and destiny to be here. And I was an Olympic torchbearer. I was in Rome for the 2005 Nobel Laureates Conference. I was at Ronald Reagan's funeral. These are my destinies as a radio announcer and producer.
You were saying these things to
me? I was saying this to the people there that wouldn't let me in.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so that you need to understand I'm not leaving.
Mm.
Even though I don't have the proper credentials, I'm supposed to be in there. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Mm.
And she goes, you don't understand. I have all these people to take care of. And I said, why don't you just take care of those people, and I'm just going to sit here and be adorable. And then let's see what we can do after you get the people taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So she took care of the people, and then this man came over to me and said, was this the ticket that you were looking for? And gave me a ticket. This is what gets even funnier. So then he gives me this ticket, right, this guy? And it's the ticket to the Western Ball. So I go in. And I meet a senator from one of the Midwestern states as we're walking in. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that you needed a ticket. He said, here, take this one.
Mm.
So now I had a ticket to the Western Ball and the Midwestern Ball. Mm. Plus, it was given to me by one of the state legislatures.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like claiming your space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Leo dragon, so sometimes, Stephanie, I can be bold. But other times when I'm comfortable and I know that I'm on the course of my destiny, I just need to let them know I'm not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be here and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up knowing it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, I think that that's an accurate thing in the universe. Gail, you're very good at that.
Well, I think it has to do with intention. and law of attraction, and all of those things.
So one of the things you don't know, guys, is that the cloakroom, where you check your clothes, it's like so far away you can't believe it. By the time you go to the balls and stuff, it could take you like 2 hours to find out where the cloakroom was.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've been walking all over Washington and you're now walking around in heels,
mm-hmm.
and your feet hurt,
yeah.
every time I would stop to rest, I would sit next to somebody interesting.
You know, I wondered about the feet issue yesterday, especially looking at the vice president's wife, Dr. Jill Biden. She was wearing spike boots, and they got out and walked, too.
Let me tell you something about those spike boots and those people, because I talked to them, because I asked, how do you do this? They're actually spike boots animals, and they're happiest in those boots.
Mm, well,
and they have
good.
Different angles and feet than the rest of the world.
That's
I already checked
good.
That.
Yes.
It was one of my questions, how do you do this? Mm. But every time I met somebody, I asked them if I could kiss them.
Mm.
And that's not so strange when you understand of the mood of Washington.
Mm.
Because people did want to kiss each other.
Mm.
People did want to celebrate the grandest day of the year. And I have met all the way from a youth on a philanthropic board to people that I don't even know who they're all yet, to senators, to all kinds of people that worked with the Obama campaign, that when we were working to get to the inauguration, we were actually in a crowd of people where you were packed so much that you couldn't even see the ground around you,
mm-hmm.
and that everybody was pressed around you. And at one point, the crowd started to push. And you know what? The crowd stopped the pushers. I've never had anything like this happen before. It was getting a little scary,
mm-hmm.
because people from the back were pushing. All of a sudden,
and we saw, in fact, some people jump barricades.
Yes.
And I got nervous, too, yesterday, thinking if one person gets crushed, this...
This was it. I was there, and I was going, this is what happened in Argentina, right?
Yeah.
The crowd. I've never seen anything like this. The crowd started to say, stop the pushing.
Excellent.
You'll hurt others.
Excellent.
And it was scattering all over the place, and the crowd took it back, and there was one man that insisted on smoking in this crowd, and everybody asked him to please stop,
mm-hmm.
and I finally said to him, sir, we've just nominated you as the jerk of the year. Would you like to accept your award?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that made everybody laugh, which needed to be done, because if they could have gotten to him, they would have, like, put the cigarette out on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what's pointed to here is that we are cells in a system, like a body, like inside of a bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be honoring and respecting of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you would see people cut through the crowd, like trampling over people to get through. The crowd didn't like it. It was like cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in there and you take yourself as one of the cells in that crowd, it's a very transformative experience. Gail, when you watch the parade, and you watch the conversations that have been going on, what would you say is the major shift that's happened in your life?
You mean when I watch the Rose?
Yeah,
parade?
When you watch all of the thing. We started it on New Year's Day, and we're now in a new world. What would you say is different for you out of what you've seen in the last month and partaken in?
I would say that there's a whole new era of openness that is occurring for me. And that Rose Parade this year, I went down after, and I was taking photographs of the floats up close, you know. It's a whole new experience when you're...
You've never done that before, Gail?
Well, I have, but this time I was doing it for a media-related project,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It was the most wonderful thing, just the aroma
mm-hmm.
of the
yes,
flowers.
Yes, that's the joy of seeing that parade at least once in your life, the aroma of the flowers. Did you see them and take the pictures at the end of the parade?
Yes, I did. And
I had heard, the reason I ask, and forgive me, Val, interrupt me here if you need to.
No, you're fine.
The reason I ask is that there's been some useful conversation, I think. And, in fact, there was an article in the L.A. Times shortly after the parade about the fact that it's a different parade for the people at the beginning than it is for the people at the end of the parade. The floats are not looking quite as bright and shiny. Some people have fallen out of the parade with heat stroke or blisters. And that the tournament is being alerted, the Tournament of Roses, who sponsors and puts on this parade, is being alerted to the fact that there are folks at the end of the parade who want to be sure that we all remember they're there waiting for us. You know, they're waiting for the parade the rest of us saw.
Well, that parade is about 5 miles long, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, 5.5 miles. And even though bands practice rehearsing, you know, in their own states or their own countries, in order to gear up for a 5.5 mile march, there really is no way you can be prepared for that sort of tension and speed and constant movement. Yep. So there are some accidents along the way that have never been serious, but people do fall out with blisters or illness, and those floats, though very strongly chassised, are very delicate in some ways, and they show it by the end of that 2-hour experience.
Well, that's really very interesting. And see, I'm a person that's really into symbolism. So as I'm listening to you talk, I'm kind of applying it in my own thinking to a conversation of life. Like, this is what happens as we go through our lives.
Boy,
and
does it ever.
And then yet we regenerate ourselves, as you did.
Well, and we reprioritize, for sure. My reaction to this New Year's challenge comes, I think, from having just turned 65.
Well, I wanted you to actually, we're about to do Diamond and Lyman in a minute, and I wanted you to mention your mom
mm-hmm.
briefly so we could send your mom a prayer.
Thank you.
So tell...
I want to just acknowledge that, Stephanie, because that is my birthday year also
mm-hmm.
coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that... it is a very particular passage, but also an inspiration
mm-hmm.
for women particularly to win the second half.
Yeah, it has to be.
Okay, so we're going to be talking more about the phoenix, the rising of the phoenix, after we take this break here. But, and here's to focusing on men and women passing through their 60th year, and here's also to Stephanie's mom.
Thanks.
Or mother-in-law.
My mother, Jerry.
Her mother, Jerry, who will really appreciate and feel this divine transmission on some level. So let's go for Diamond Alignment now, and then we'll be back.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
Appreciate what you've done very much. I've been using Diamond Alignment and working with it for a couple of years now. And I've actually traversed some very unique, adventuresome, and stressful times in the last few years. And whenever I wanted to get myself settled down or realign, I went to my computer, usually in the middle of the night when I was having trouble sleeping, and signed up and did the Diamond Alignment process. So thank you very much for putting that on the air. I'm actually hearing an echo, and I'm wondering if engineering could take care of that. Take a visit to our website at wakinguminamerica.com. That's WakingUpInAmerica.com, and if you go down to the bottom of the page, you'll see our sponsors. Really great mailing lists are done through Stardust. Click on that for that information. If you want to run away to Mexico, it's Roberto's Bungalows. All of the information is there for you, and if you take a notice, you're going to see there's something called Race for the Rainforest. So here's what happens. When you click on a Race for the Rainforest, you're given the opportunity to sign up for your own page, and you can actually go in there every day, and you can actually, when you click, you save 7 square feet of American prairie, marine wetlands, or rainforest. And you can do that every day, and you can go on and on, so each person can actually make a huge difference. And I'll tell you something, Stephanie, I bet your mom felt this. It's all about being connected in frequency, you know?
I appreciate the effort very much.
Did you happen to feel anything as that was playing? It usually makes me just kind of settle down. I'm curious. Some people feel it and others don't.
I calmed down in order to hear it because it's unfamiliar to me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I quieted myself so that I could try to understand what it was all about.
Uh-huh. But what about you, Gail?
Mm-hmm.
What did you feel, Gail?
I think I felt the same thing as Stephanie did, just calming down to hear what it was that it had to offer.
It actually does. And different listeners, you experience it in different ways, but what I want you to know is that I actually made arrangements with Jacqueline Joy, and if you go onto the website, you can actually click in and you can hear this at no charge. So I just automatically, when I was doing shows last year, you guys, where people were fighting a bit about what was going on, I could actually tell the difference in their voices after this played. So I've enjoyed it immensely. People that tend to be calmer don't necessarily notice it as much as people that are going through more. So I had a lot of political people on last year that were upset about one thing or another. And if you listen to the show, you can literally hear their voices change from one segment to the other. So here we are. You know, we're on the half hour of this show. You're listening to Waking Up in America with Stephanie Edwards of the Rose Parade and Gail Ellen, who helped who worked with a lot of other great people in the 1984 Olympics and who is just fabulous at protocol and taking Waking Up in America right into some incredibly interesting dialogues. Here we are. What can we do? How would we like to participate? What can we contribute? Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have invited us to step into change. I called Jean Houston, you guys, before I went on this trip, and for those of our listening audience who don't know, Jean Houston actually works with global leaders. She was actually scheduled to be on one of the 9/11 planes and for the first time in her life canceled the reservation. If you go to Jean Houston's website, you will actually see, if I can remember it, it says, the universe is waiting for you to take your place. And what would your place be in this new future that we're creating? Stephanie, you've got a job pretty well cut out for you. You've listened to Barack Obama's invitation, and so have you, Gail. Does anything new come to mind, or any place that you'd like to reach out or have more information on or create more relationships in? What shows up for you when I ask that question?
Well, for me, Val, I just would like to say that it really is up close and personal for me because I hit my 65th birthday this year. And
AARP.
Yeah, AARP. And it is really about looking forward and doing the very thing that women in that passage can do, which is certainly inspire possibility. And
what did you say, Gail, which is certainly what?
Inspire
yes.
possibility. And I know I wanted to get a little bit up close and personal with Stephanie because I know that Stephanie also is having that 65th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of contribution and that particular passage, Stephanie, I wondered if you might be able to just speak about that.
Oh, thank you, Gail. Well, you know, in ways, I'm reminded a lot of the fact that as when you say you bake a cake or you bake a pretzel, the way you twist it is the way it's going to come out. And there are things about the family into which I was born, the heritage from which I come, that are influencing me as much today as they did the day I dropped from the womb. I do.
Could you give us a little more detail on that?
I'm a Scandinavian with a little Irish thrown in, but not enough to balance it properly.
Okay, so where did that red hair come from?
The red hair was originally there because I have many, many red-headed cousins, Norwegians. But mine changed to kind of a field mouse, dark blonde, so I've been coloring it since 1971. It's my natural hair color from childhood that left me in 1971.
Okay, but you understand that red hair of your childhood, my daughter has that red hair too, by the way.
Yeah, it's supposed to be there, so by golly, I'm going to keep it there.
Well, there's more to it than that. It's actually supposed to be a group of red-headed women warriors that were supposed to come and shake things up.
Yeah, so I've been told.
Yeah.
But that's the other part of my trip back into where I was born and how I was raised. I come from an environment in the farm country of the Midwest where you deferred to authority. And authority was perhaps no more than someone older or a male in your environment, or, quote, the way things have always been, unquote. I deferred as recently as this last Rose Parade, and I'll tell you about that in a second. I continue to balance that against what I know I want to do, and certainly now, if I at 65 I don't do it, I may lose the opportunity. What I want to do is to pursue person by person rather than with crowds of people, and that's what I'm more used to pursue person by person the acts of kindness that you are talking about having encountered on this trip east, Val.
Yes.
I'm one of those people, and I admit it, I'm not at all prideful about it, I have to admit. I'm one of those people who's much more comfortable with a group of 500 than with a group of two.
Isn't that interesting? Because most people would say exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What is that quote, Stephanie?
But public speakers are comfortable with that, my bailiwick. What we have to do is to make sure that we review where we can be honest and sincere and then make it happen in a one-on-one basis. My husband and I live on a cul-de-sac. I know the first names of 3 out of 14 neighbors.
Well, you're going to change that, right?
That is my desire. And people might say, listen, this is such an old wisdom. We're disgusted that you didn't get to it before now. This is not what Barack Obama is talking about. Obama is ahead of you here. You're going to have to race to catch up. Yes, that's true. The joy of it, though, is that we're hearing this kind of attitude from, as he referred to himself this morning, the leader of the free world. Kindness being spoken of as the watchword of the administration of the leader of the free world is a new idea.
Now, how does that phrase go about random?
Random acts of kindness?
Simple, something, beauty and kindness? Random acts of kindness and simple, gosh darn it, I had it a minute ago.
Simple somethings of beauty?
Simple?
Uh-huh. I see it on bumper stickers, but yes. I can't pull it up right now in my mind.
Acts of kindness. Anyway, the point being is that what it's about is random acts of kindness.
And to the person you're not interested in.
Right, that's why it's random. Not because you're going to get something back, but because you did it.
And you know what I think the challenge is for those of us who are rejoicing over Obama's victory in this election? People who are high-powered and get a lot done walk always in the danger of arrogance. I've seen it now for over 30 years in Hollywood. Arrogance is the closest companion of a lot of people who do very good works. And you watch the Obamas and watch with interest that they just hover on this side of arrogance, but they never go over the line.
Right.
If you saw them dancing together, mm-hmm. and if you felt their energy,
that's right.
It's a whole, I've never experienced in leadership energy of this, and it's exactly, it is because that arrogance is missing.
That's right. There is a supreme confidence in what is right. The confidence is in what is good. Their joy is that they know they've got the intelligence to pursue it, but they're not arrogant so that they step on other people in the name of their own cause.
You know, that's exactly why I got the ticket, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Was exactly that. And you know what? I was not alone. Washington was acting like this.
Mm-mm.
People were here because they were supposed to be here.
Uh-huh.
You're on the radio today, and you, Gail, on the radio today because this is your destiny. This is us being a conversation at this particular time was our destiny. Do you mind if I talk about that little cutie you're married to?
Not at all.
Okay, so when I went to Lincoln Junior High School, and that would be like about 1952, there was one person that I enjoyed. By the way, it's the only boy's name that I remember out of grammar school and junior high school. And that boy's
Santa Monica.
You bet. His name was Murray McLeod. And Murray McLeod was leaving, and he wasn't going to go to Samohai, and I felt like I had lost my best friend. I mean, I can get even mushy about it right now, teary, thinking about what it was like to be going to Samohai without Murray. So when I got the invitation for my 50th reunion, I didn't realize that it was going to include Lincoln Junior High School as well, so I didn't go with any expectation of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been at all to any of these in 50 years. When I walked through the door and I looked at the guest list, Murray McLeod's name was on it. And I went from table to table to find Murray McLeod. And guess who he was sitting next to?
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Edwards.
His wife.
His wife. And I just started laughing. That I laughed. I just chuckled and chuckled and chuckled because I thought how great God is.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, but, that was a precious story that came from that night. Just a precious story.
And this is what I call a karmic ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
This is when God watches and chuckles because everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yes, I like that idea.
You know?
Uh-huh. Well, because you know my husband, that I am one of the most blessed women on earth.
I do, and when I sat down, mind you, and it had been 50-plus years since we had talked to each other, he took his hand in mine, and I was with Murray McLeod again.
Yes.
And there's not a lot to it's a thing of the heart.
Yep.
Well,
you know? He has remained that little 12-year-old and in so many ways that I'm sure the feeling did come back to you because the feelings he had at the age of 12 rushed back for him that night.
Did they?
Uh-huh. And he is a hilarious man, but part of what makes him funny, to his own misery sometimes, is that he has remained very childlike. So
well, that's
he just
precious.
Bounced around that room as though you were all back in the sixth grade.
It was, I kept saying, what am I doing at my 50th reunion? I won't even recognize him. Actually, Claudia Shirk, I was so good running into you again, and Diane Hoy, and Meredith Hiss. Meredith Hiss and I had been in the Mariner Girl Scouts together, and she lives in Alaska.
You did recognize them, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they were just as cool as they were in high school, except now they were a little wiser,
yeah.
You know?
You know, I've had that experience with a recent high school reunion. I hope, Gail, if you haven't, you'll have one of those times. You know, the early high school reunions, 15th, 20th, they're a little tricky. But when you get to your 50th, everybody is celebrating everyone else.
And you know why? Because you're all alive still.
Indeed.
You know, it's like, oh, well, look who's alive still.
That's right. I had my 47th, whenever it was, a year or two ago, and we were so grateful to be together. One of us we lost just 2 weeks after we had all been together.
Oh, my God.
And so those wonderful opportunities to return to what's important matter so much when you've turned 65, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
They do. And, you know, I am hearing a lot about this new administration and that one of the hallmarks of it is the youth of the people serving in it. And at first one gulps, saying, yep, I missed my chance. They are young. On the other hand, this youthful enthusiasm they've got seems to be saying, if you happen to be 65, grab on to what's still youthful in yourself and come along. That's the feeling I got hearing his speech yesterday and seeing that mass of humanity out there. There were a lot of people out there older than we are who had struggled to get there and who are as energized by this as people of 25 are.
Well, you know, Gail, when I was at the ER, I've actually connected with quite a few young people. In fact, today I connected with, what is his name here, Robert Wardford. And Robert Wardford is like 19 years old, and he's headed to Dubai to study.
Oh.
Okay? At 19, I can't tell you what. I was like wondering how to put starch in my skirts at 19 so that it would stand out.
What shoes am I going to wear to class?
Yeah, exactly. So Robert's like... It turns out I really was attracted to him. He's adorable. Mm-hmm. So he gave me his card, and he said, I want you to know that I'm on the board of philanthropic associations. So I all of a sudden have an idea that I might get help getting my youth scholarships funded.
My.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back, Gail, I think I may have told you this story. But back in, like, 1988, 89, I had a dream, okay? And the dream, I had two dreams. One of the dreams was, and they happened within 2 days of each other. One of the dreams was that I went to sleep, and when I woke up, I was underground. And to get on the surface of the earth was burned, and I had to put on a silver suit to get out and to look around the earth. And we were walking around with, like, space suits on, but they were more like furnace-protecting suits. The second dream, the next night, the dream I had was that I was standing behind chairs at a council of youth, and they were all 20 years of age or younger, and that we were the senior advisors to the council of youth.
Mm.
Do you have any idea what it felt like? Now, I don't know what your visions have been and things like that, Gail, but being here in Washington and talking to the youth here, I feel like that's where we are at this moment.
Well, I think we can all take the opportunity to get under that energy and to use it and to get under the wings of that. And also, at that point, to bring some of the wisdom that some of us that have a large experience of life could kind of churn in. I wanted to just offer something, though, because, as you know, I'm... working on my new book, and I interviewed a woman who is 100 last week, and she's 100 and still charming everyone who comes into her vision. So it's those kinds of qualities.
So how did she charm you? Tell me, because you're very charming yourself, so I'm interested in what charms the charming.
Well, you know, it was her spirit, her charming spirit, and there was just like this glitter in her eye, and she just was very welcoming, and everything you know that she had to say was so enduring. I couldn't help but be charmed.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, we're getting near the end of the show, and I think we should all, like, thank people. I'm thanking Henry Weinecker and Paul Walton and Candace Nicole and Durga McBroom and Lisa Mulson. You and your mom, Joy, rock. I want to thank the Seminoles for the grand party at the Hard Rock. That was just so much fun, and you throw a great party, guys, and your band was outrageous. I want to thank all the people that let me in where I wasn't supposed to be, they said. And all the gifts that all of you gave me. I want to thank all the people that we exchanged kisses with and the ones we didn't but wished we had. I just want to thank the possibility of the future and what it feels like to walk around without barriers and be open to the gifts that the universe has to offer. And if I have a prayer, it's that each day we become more open and more connected. The stories that we're hearing about our culture and about what it's going to take for recovery and the damage of the world, for those of you, one of the things we noticed at the parade, you guys, was that the people who would get through the line that we're working through towards the Purple Gate, some people got very close, Stephanie and Gail, and you know what? They said, I can't make it, and they turned around and came back, and so they didn't. The concierge at the hotel had actually been there and come back and said it was too far and she'd never be able to get back.
Yeah, we heard this. Uh-huh.
And the truth of the matter was I left an hour and a half after they did, and I was in the C-section.
Mm-mm.
And it has to do with your place in destiny and claiming it. So to our listening audience, to all of the participants, to in our gratefulness, I want to thank you for what you've given. I want you to remember, as Jean Houston would say, you know, the universe is waiting for you to claim your place in destiny. And the Waking Up an America team is here to support you in saying what it is, and we'll do whatever we can to help you get to where you're going. Gail, did you want to say something, and then you, Steph?
Yeah, I want to say thank you, Val, and thank you, Stephanie, and God bless America.
Amen. And I'm thinking of that passage from Isaiah that says, the Lord will help us mount up with wings like eagles, that we will run and not grow weary, that we will not, that we will walk and not faint. It is, as you say, Val, an attitude of optimism now that takes us beyond where we thought we could go.
Yeah, everybody that said we can do it got there, okay? All the ones that said I can't didn't, and that's really important to remember. We've got 4 minutes left in the show, and here's how I request we use the time. If you have an organization, Stephanie or Gail, that you want to refer somebody to that's made a difference in your life, if we don't know all the telephone numbers and stuff, just write them down because Google is available and you can find it all. So, Gail, where would you like to refer people where you've got an extraordinary gift? First thing that comes to you.
You know what, Val? I'm gonna pass the ball to you and think about it for a second.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I'll do one. Steph, you do one, and then Gail, you
sure.
Get to do one. You can say bowling if you want, Gail,
okay.
Because bowling's fun. I'm gonna say go to our website and race for the rainforest.
Good.
Click it on that. It costs nothing. Also on the website is a wonderful little girl that talks about breast cancer. We've got also great stuff on the video page. Go take a look at some of that stuff. You'll get some good ideas.
Great idea.
Okay, Steph, you're on.
I'd like to encourage people to investigate a place called Discover the World at AOL.com. Discover the World, DTW, at AOL.com. It's all about helping those who deserve it.
Lisa Molson, are you on? Are you on the show? Lisa Molson just called in, darn. She probably was over at the Smithsonian. Lisa Molson, I'm going to refer you to Lisa Molson and her mom, Joy. They're actually part of the Yurok tribe, and they do a lot of things to help people. And right now, we're looking for help for the Theron Thompson would be the one here, actually. He's like 17, 18 years old. He spent a year as a Senate page. He's been a bone marrow transplant, and bless his heart, Theron wants to go to George Washington University, and we still need to come up with $6,000 to take care of his year there. So if anybody here wants to take care of that or help Theron out, that would be great, because you help one person and you've helped the world.
Amen.
Okay, Gail, is it bowling or is it something else?
No, I really would like to say that pets and small animals and creatures that are put into, adoptions and SPCA situations and things. And I want to acknowledge Cesar Millar. He's the dog whisperer. And the work that Cesar does and helps people with their animals and has them understand them and give them a good life. But, you know, with the condition of the world now, with the economics changing, so many animals are now being sort of displaced.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask people to, if they can, to help in that area.
That's Gail, that would have been number two on my list. There was a time when I said Cesar should run for president.
Listen, you guys, the thing about Cesar, he actually trains the owners of the animals.
That's, right.
That's the secret.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for pointing to that subtly, you guys, without totally mentioning that it's the owners that need to be trained. The dogs are fine.
Yep.
So that's a good one, Gail. You know what you made me think of when you said that? Tippi Hedren and Shambhala.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Tippi Hedren and Shambhala and her daughter, Melanie Griffith, have put hundreds of thousands of dollars into taking care of wild animals that haven't had appropriate homes.
And
they've rescued them.
And this is important, Val, much more work than money. Tippi said to me at an event once, you know, everybody thinks I've got an awful lot of money because of who my children are. I don't. I need money.
And you know how you get that? You can actually go to Shambhala. I believe it's shambhala.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually, what you do is you sponsor animals. Okay?
Yeah.
And she also gives you guys, ask for this. Talk to Anita when you call. She usually does a bash at the Magic Castle in Hollywood to raise funds every year. First of all, what you need to know about Tippi, she's not boring at all.
Whoa.
So she puts together the most fun fundraisers on the planet. Mm-hmm. Steve Valentine, who used to be with Crossing Jordan, he turns out to be an extraordinarily good magician, and he's a friend of hers.
You know, one of the great things on my resume, Val, is that, I'm joking, of course, but our little mobile vet who takes care of our two little kitties is her veterinarian. We hear the most amazing stories from him about how to check on the tummy trouble of a lion.
Oh, my God.
She's fascinating.
We're supposed to be off the air? My God. Did you know that?
Yep.
We're having too much fun.
Yeah.
Gail, have you got one last one before we check out here?
See you later.
Okay, that's it. Listen, Stephanie Edwards, you rock.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on Waking Up in America. And listeners, thank you for listening. We love having you. We want to thank the crew at Voice America and at Sparks Communication. And, oh, my God, Jeff Spinard, you have just been totally amazing. John in Buffalo, thank you. And honest to goodness, Ron Simon, you do a great job in Albuquerque. And we want to thank Bent Migan for our theme music, and we want to say this is our 22nd year on radio. Come back next week. We've loved having you.
Hear the music, feel the dance. Hear the music, feel the dance. Hear the music, feel the dance.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.